Any second as to that? In the absence of a second of any other nomination? Any second? Thank you very much, and I appoint Mr. Jadoff to chair the meeting.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let me take this opportunity to thank the Minister and his delegation for coming to the select committee of the CMP. We do appreciate and see that the minister is taking this select committee seriously. You yourself, you're here and you're heavy delegation. So we hope that whatever is going to be here is going to be fruitful for this committee. And since we are behind schedule, we'll just shoot on. I'll start first of all by giving the apologies. The chairperson is not here, he's on study leave. Mr. Dawu also is not here, Mr. Mlenzani and also Mr. Berg. So I'll request the members of parliament to introduce themselves. From there, we'll give the minister and his delegation to introduce themselves.
I'm Herman Groenewald from the Northwest Province and member of the NCRP and this committee.
Good morning, I'm Priscilla Kemba. I'm representing Boomerang, member of this committee. I'm Abidja Yorana, representing
representing the Free State and also the member of this committee. Then I'll give on the minister to make on their side to make introduction.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me begin by introducing the Acting Director General, Mr. Sam Bugela, on the immediate right. And I'll ask him to introduce the team, but let me say why we have come in full force like this is that we want to give the members of the committee the opportunity for all the information that they need from us. It's not that we're trying to intimidate you by being more than you, but it's that we want to provide as much and be as helpful as we possibly can, because I think generally sometimes it's not easy to understand the mandate of public works. So it's about people being available to pursue the goals that you set yourself in being effective in terms of your oversight. But thanks for the introduction, this one, Chairperson. But let me ask Acting Director General to introduce the members. And from my office, we have the Parliamentary Liaison Officer on my left, Nkosinathi Nomatiti. I think he's the only one from the Minister. Oh, yes. One of the advisors, there's Ngolding. The rest are with the department, I think. Yes, yes. We'll ask Acting DG then just to introduce the team. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. As already indicated, I'm Sam Bugela. I'll suggest that colleagues introduce themselves from CFO here.
Okay. I'm Kathy Mukutu, the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, my name is Rashad Samuel. I'm the acting COO. Good
morning, Manda Mabuza, DDG Special Projects.
Good morning, I'm Safa Sivan, acting DDG Asset Investment Management.
Good morning, Lydia Bickley, DDG Policy. Good morning, Peter Chair Casper, acting DDG Inner City Project Management and Professional Services.
Good morning, Chair Members. My name
I'm Stanley Henderson, Investing DDG for the Extended Public Works Program.
Good morning, members. My name is Adam Tomi, Chief Director, Intergovernmental Services.
Good morning, my name is Dimitra Lavigi, Technical Director for the Institution.
Good morning, my name is Wafi Kling, Fellowship Management.
My name is Daikima Chedwell, I'm the Acting DDG for Corporate Services.
Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. Minister. The staff.
I've already introduced myself. My name is Masibong Mzokali. I'm the committee clerk of the committee.
Okay. PMG?
Yeah. And if you see the PMG.
Okay, thanks. Honourable Minister, I hear you have got so many acting DDGs, and it does not augur well, because if you are having so many DDGs, it means the memory of that department is lost somewhere. If that person is not getting that kind of a job, maybe it is the first thing that we have to rectify. Okay, let me give... I don't know who's going to make presentation. I'll hand over to the acting DDG.
Okay. What we suggest, Chairperson, with your permission, is that I give the overview of our strategic plan. And then you did raise very specific areas that you want us to focus on. And I think what we'll do is we'll then ask the relevant senior managers to respond to the specific areas that you want to hone in on. So I won't do a long overview in terms of our strategic plan. I'll be very concise, because I think your areas were very specific in terms of exactly where you wanted to go. But let me begin by saying, Chairperson, that we are very appreciative of the opportunity to address the NCOP before the budget vote on the 6th. We were a bit concerned that we were running out of time and that we didn't have an opportunity to interact, but thank you for creating that space for us to do so. Chairperson, let me begin by saying that the Department of Public Works, last year in my budget speech in both houses, I indicated that one of the key objectives that we want to achieve in the medium-term expenditure framework period was that we want to reclaim the mandate of public works. We want to reposition public works, and hence you will realize, Chairperson, that many of the acting positions that you have heard during the introductions are not as a mistake. There is a particular process the department is going through. We are focused in what we want to achieve, and we'll speak to that as we go through the high-level overview. Firstly, I think it's important to understand that the Department of Public Works needs to be a technical department that responds to the mandate that it has of providing government accommodation and the other areas that we'll talk about a bit later. Now, our whole function is about procurement. Whether we lease government space, whether we buy a house for a minister, whether we buy get a house for a resident or a judge or behalf of a client department, our whole business is about procurement. So it's very important that on those two legs, the mandate of the department rests. Now, whilst we are also the custodian of our assets, of the government assets, and we have the legislative instruments in place, GIAMA, and we'll talk to some of that a little bit later in terms of the implementation of GIAMA. It's therefore important that we relook our mandate as public works. Now, when you want to relook your mandate, the important thing to do is to start with the white paper. And the white paper dates back to the very first parliament that existed before the 99 elections. A white paper was published and tabled by one of my predecessors in this department, the Minister Jeff Radebe, Minister of Constitutional Development, Justice and Constitutional Development. And that white paper, in fact, sketched the roadmap that was followed by Public Works. Now, the important thing is for us to dust off that white paper and begin to look at it. Make sure that we are still on track, and where need be, and we are convinced that in the way going forward, we are going to have to review, reshape, and rejuvenate the Department of Public Works. One of the things that comes with this is bringing stability into the Department of Public Works. So we are going to achieve that. Work is already ongoing. There are a number of areas of improvement that need to happen. One of them is the establishment of the property management trading entity and the entity itself. Now, those are very technical discussions, but we'll just try and give you a sense of what those things are about. Now, it's important, Chairperson, to bring this back to the performance agreements that we've signed with the President. We have the five priorities as per the electoral mandate, and we have the 12 outcomes that emanate from the five priorities. Public Works has been charged with three of those responsibilities, and we'll give you a sense of what they are in the budget speech. We'll be talking about them. And we've signed that performance agreement confident that the way we have decided to gear the Department of Public Works is going to be very responsive to those particular outcomes and those electoral mandates. We are convinced, Chairperson, that we need to provide a better service to compliant departments in fulfilling our mandate. And given that, we've taken the following decisions that we are going to do, and they're in our strategic plan. One is that we need to improve our management decision-making and be a more efficient decision-making management structure. We need to look at our organizational design and organizational structure. In other words, Chairperson, are we geared for the kind of mandate and the kind of delivery that we are looking for? Are we geared for that? Because if those two things are out of sync, we're not really going to succeed. We have to look at how we become a more efficient service delivery department to government and to our client departments. And we need to look at the systems that we need to provide that. The IT systems in Public Works are not up to scratch. They're not in the same standard that we think we need systems to support us. We believe that we should have IT systems to support us in our accounting environment, as well as our planning and our oversight and monitoring capabilities need to be improved by using dynamic IT capability and systems that are available. We need to also move away from being a reactive department in terms of leading the space in which government accommodation needs to be provided. By this I mean that we need to have a modern property management system, not only in our construction of government accommodation, but also in our property management system. One of the biggest criticisms we've always had, and when I was sitting where you are, Chairperson, I had the same. Why are government departments or government buildings dilapidated, vacant, unoccupied, and underutilized? That's exactly what we want to do. We want to turn the department around, that we become the lead department, and if necessary, even be able to lease government space to the private sector to do whatever they want to do. We have a large asset register, a large asset base, but we want to make sure that we are able to turn this asset base into one of the economic spinners for the economy. We believe that this can be utilized to benefit the economy of the country. We have made major strides in the improving our financial management and the improvement of our systems. The audit report last year was a critical one. We took note of all the reports and the comments made by the Auditor General, and there is an improvement in that direction going forward in terms of really improving the management of our resources and even on the side of the collections. Because, as you know, as much as we spend, we also have to collect. One of the areas that you are familiar with is that MPs that live in the parks have to pay rent to Public Works. We've got to make sure we've got those systems right. So do other departments that occupy government, the space that we provide for government offices. ministers' offices, the rent has to be paid, and services have to be paid. This chairperson, we intend to achieve by utilizing our entities such as Agrimore South Africa, the IDT, the Council for the Built Environment, and the Construction Industry Development Board. We have had interactions with our entities as to how we can empower them to upscale and to raise the bar in terms of their performance. It's very important that entities that are funded by government assist us in their mandates and in raising the bar in terms of our efficiency. We have, Chairperson, the leadership within the department, and I must, Chairperson, at this very early stage, thank those that you heard introducing themselves as acting, because some of them really volunteered into very hostile situations and have agreed to assist us by acting when they could have said, Minister, no, I think I'll pass on this one. But they have held the ship on course, and as you know, we did not disappoint the President. We turned out a 97% of the EPWP target in December of 500,000. And I'm happy to report, Chairperson, that in the year end of March this year, our target was 550,000. We've achieved that target 110%. We have 604,000 work opportunities created. So despite what might seem as Hollywood, people have been very sincere and very passionate about what they've done in their acting capacities. And I think the department has seen, in the last year, has seen us raising the bar in terms of the efficiency of the department. Yes, there are criticisms. Yes, there are shortcomings. We are aware of that, but we are on top of our game. There is also a renewed commitment, Chairperson, with the senior managers that we have here. We're in the process of doing interviews. Soon, the positions will be filled. All of them have been advertised. Some positions have already been interviewed for. We're busy setting up panels now to review the second layer of our leadership in the department. But notwithstanding that, this leadership that's with me here in the department, when they go back to their normal places of deployment, you can rely on them as having made a contribution and going back and doing their best. Chairperson, on the issue of, as I mentioned, one of the key pillars of the functioning of public works, is the procurement mandate that we procure goods and services for government in our mandate. The important aspect thereof is that we are not convinced that we are making the necessary impact in terms of the stakeholder that we want to bring into the empowerment aspect, which is the black economic empowerment. I think there's room for improvement. And we feel that we need to relook some of the way we do things and play a bigger role in trying to lead in this particular process. Chairperson, let me welcome the Deputy Minister. I want to continue without me acknowledging her presence. One of the unintended consequences of government empowering the private sector through its BE policy, is that government then had to learn how to pay people on time. This is something that we take very seriously in the department, and the CFO will speak to her initiative that she's put in place to try and expedite and to keep a track on feedback from our service providers where we are not paying on time and not paying within 30 days. But I'll allow the CFO to speak to that particular initiative. On the skills development front, we believe, Chairperson, that a lot more can be done. We are engaged now, as you know, that the skills development mandate now rests with the Department of Higher Education, but we are a contributing department to that particular process. You know that after the macro reorganization of the state, the Department of Higher Education became a new department, and the CETAs are now moving from Department of Labor to the Department of Higher Education, and certainly I've had informal discussions with the Minister of Higher Education as to how we can be part of the delivery forums in respect of skills development, because as you know, the CIDB, the CBE, and all the professional councils have the mandate, the legislative mandate, that they should contribute towards skills development in the country. But we feel that this needs, it needs new energy, it needs a new drive. It's not going the way it should be. I think the figures are indicate to us that we've made better strides in the last 18 months, but I feel, and the department feels, that we still need to move extensively in this field and improve. Chairperson, in the same vein as I was talking about the GEE, we need to look at our programs such as the contractor development program, the property incubator program. Those are initiatives by the Department of Public Works to try and broaden the participation of previously disadvantaged people into the mainstream economy through the mandate of public works. It's a rocky ride, it's a difficult terrain because, as you know, the construction industry is dominated by the big and powerful, and so is the property industry. It's not an easy industry to penetrate and find an entry point where our people can benefit. But we believe that as these initiatives evolve, and as we learn from these processes, we believe that we can make an improvement so that we get better participation from our stakeholders out there and the disadvantaged groups that have not been benefiting in this particular area. Chairperson, also in terms of the IDT, you might be aware, I'm sure they've interacted with you. The IDT was capitalized 20 years ago with 2 billion rand, and it has survived all these years, done wonderful work in the social infrastructure that it's built all around the country, and the role that it's played. It now needs to be recapitalized, and we've drafted a submission that we've submitted to Treasury. We are busy following up in the course of this week because we want to interact with Treasury on our submission, because we feel that the IDT is a very deserving case to put forward and be recapitalized in the next financial year. We're hoping that within the budget announcements early next year, we'll see that the IDT has been recapitalized. We are convinced of this, and we find it a special purpose vehicle of enormous significance in the delivery. As you know, that when the announcement was made of eliminating or reducing the number of mud schools, it was the IDT that took their own resources and assisted government in kick-starting the process and making an impact. We are participating fully, Chairperson, in the five electoral mandated areas in terms of government's objectives, and we will be serving on a range of delivery forums. We serve on a range of clusters. So although we might not be playing a lead role in some of the areas of the five mandates and the outcomes, we certainly have a presence as public works in the relationship that we have with other ministries and through the structures of cabinet. Chairperson, I've mentioned the latest figures of the expanded public works program. This program is an extensive program. We spent half a day yesterday explaining to the media what the EPWP is. We did that, and it was a deliberate move because whenever we have media briefings, we tend to get asked a lot of very technical questions that you cannot answer in the environment of a media briefing. So we then promised them that before the budget vote, we would sit down and have a workshop with them. And I must say, Chairperson, that I think they were able to spend a lot of time going into a lot of the detail and understanding the expanded public works program. One of them commented to me and said they didn't understand or know that the public works program cut across all of government, all of the spheres of government, and they found it very useful that we had given them the opportunity to interact with us. You are aware, Chairperson, that basically in terms of the expanded public works program, our outer years, our target goes up to 4.5 million by 2014. We've exceeded our current target by 110%, and we're quite sure that we'll see very much the same in the current year that we are in, 2010 and 2011, I'm sure we'll exceed the target that has we're quite happy that the impact of the EPWP is beginning to be felt. Yesterday we allowed the media to talk to beneficiaries about the training, how it's changed their lives, and there were four or five beneficiaries that really gave us a good reference in outlining how we've been able to change their lives and the lives of their communities. Chairperson, we're also participating in the Green Strategy for the Built Environment. We are part of the Cabinet Cluster that's making a recommendation to Cabinet soon, both on energy saving and all the aspects of the Green Strategy. We will be sharing that information with yourselves as time goes along. Also, we are encouraging the debate within the Green Building Council. We participate in some of the public engagements that they've been having, and certainly we are very cognizant of the role that Public Works needs to play. We also want to become one of the lead departments in this particular arena, so that we can provide the policy directives and the leadership that this requires. It does need a mindset to move from the conventional building methods to the green building methods. Chairperson, on some of the asset issues, we have our asset register reflects that we have 108,562 buildings, of which roughly 2,600 are available for consideration to rehabilitate in order to provide the space required by government departments. Now, we can't continuously go to Treasury and say we need money to rehabilitate buildings. Public Works is going to have to come up with innovative ideas as to how we get funding from whom, how we structure our way forward, so that in fact we can rehabilitate the buildings of Public Works, not only at the national level, but there are buildings that are owned by the provinces as well. And this sometimes is a blurring of the lines that we get the blame for a lot of buildings that don't belong to us as the national department, but they belong to provincial departments. But we want to be able to put to MinMec very soon a proposal on how we can fund the rehabilitation programs. These funding methodologies and models are being worked out by the department. It's still early days. It's a very complex area, but those are issues that we have to deal with. Moving on to the disposal policy, Chairperson, one of the criticisms in the Auditor General's report is on movable assets. Now, movable assets are like those that we are sitting on here today. Now, when you refurbish a house in Acacia Park and you move all the furniture out and you bring new furniture, we then have to label that furniture, store it somewhere, look after it for as long as it's there. We need a disposal policy to be able to make some decisions, because not only is it costly to warehouse furniture that we are not using, some of it might not be reusable without selling the family silver, but we need a disposal policy to manage some of the assets that we don't require or that are not core to our mandate. And that disposal policy is in its early stages. It's, in fact, in the last few days, come onto my desk, and we'll be looking at that and also sharing that with yourselves at the appropriate time. Chairperson, on the investments that Public Works is making, you'll see from the more detailed reports, we are very much involved in the land ports of entry on a number of fronts between Mozambique and South Africa, Botswana and South Africa, Namibia and South Africa, Swaziland and South Africa. There are new buildings that have been built for the embassies in Lesotho, and also has been a building project in Kawaweta in Uganda with the O.R. Tambo Technical School that we've left behind for the benefit of the Ugandans for having housed the NGO that was in a liberation struggle, and that was opened by President Zuma. That's a flagship. It's the first one of its kind on the continent, and we are hoping that we can spread our footprint in terms of our international relations commitment to other countries that have a close cooperation with us. We're hoping, Chairperson, that in the following few months, certainly before the end of this financial year, we'll have our property management trading entity in place and all the components of it. It's a new vehicle that we know that will change the way in which we provide services to client departments. We want to bring an end to all the complaints about who is responsible for fixing this, who is responsible for maintaining that. We're not happy that some of these complaints arise in the public domain, but we are also here not to be defensive, but to say what is it we can do to fix that. Some of these situations we've inherited. Some decisions were taken in 2001 and further in 2006 to devolve the budgets and the custodianship and maintenance programs to client departments. That doesn't seem to be going as much as the way it was intended. And unfortunately, it reverts back to us that we are the problematic department. We want to address those issues and turn this around. We've made significant progress in terms of our debtors book and revenue management. The CFO has interventions there have really reduced what was a terrible looking overdraft situation to almost by 50%, I think, CFO. And I think that indicates that this move, Chairperson, as I said earlier, in terms of improving our finance management and the systems in that particular regard. Lastly, Chairperson, and not least, we feel that in line with our broad review, reshape and rejuvenate, stabilize our department, we also need a cleanup of our systems that might have failed us in the past. To do that, we took a decision as the department and the minister that we should get in the SIU to do a complete scan of our systems, make sure that if there are any nasties hiding there, that we deal with them decisively, and then we make sure that on the way going forward, we're not one of the departments that are found to be having corrupt practices or untoward business dealings. We want to be a department that aims towards a clean audit, and we are not being over-ambitious, and we're not going to say in the next audit, or we know it's going to take time. We're dealing with a department that's had negative audit reports for many years, and but we want to say that on our watch, we want to achieve a clean audit. So, Chairperson, just briefly in our overview, this is to give you a sense of where the strategic plan is taking us in terms of a high-level overview. I didn't want to bog you with too much detail because your committee is going to focus on specifics, and we thought maybe we should ease up on my detailed overview and give more time to the specifics that you'd like us to assist you with information on. But Chairperson, feel free if there's anything that you'd like to come back to us on or ask questions after the presentations. I'll try and be here as long as I possibly can to assist the department in responses. Thank you.
Let me acknowledge the presence of the Deputy Minister. We appreciate your presence in this meeting. Thanks very much.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Mine will be mainly on the specifics with respect to what the department is doing, aligned to what the minister has already said. The department is structured in terms of five programs as approved by National Treasury, which are mainly administration, immovable assets, investment management, expanded public programs, construction and policy, property policy regulation, auxiliary and associated services. Within the same programs, as a department, we have come up with eight branches, the purpose of which is to implement the mandate of the department. Those eight branches are asset investment management, operations management, special projects, inner city regeneration, project management and professional services, expanded public program, construction and property policy regulation, finance and supply chain management, and corporate services. These branches, each one of them has got a specific functions that are associated to it. The key branch initiatives are as follows, which in assets investment management branch is focused mainly in the area of the asset management of the department, asset register is one of the key components. It ensures that it compiles the service level agreement, facilitate completion of user management plans by plans department, and the completion of the custodian asset management plans, implementation programs, planned maintenance and capital works, and also the leasing environment. Property performance standards. We also look into the area of energy and water efficiency programs. We also focus in the rehabilitation of unused and underutilized state-owned buildings. Also look into the area of accessibility of buildings of government. We also look into the area of valuations and national infrastructure maintenance strategy. The operations branch is focused mainly in the implementation implementation with respect to all the regional offices. The department has got regions in each province. We also look into the, there's also a branch that looks into the inner city regeneration, its purpose of which is to ensure that we revive the inner cities. The current focus is the city of Tshwane, where we are actually looking into the accommodation of head offices. We do also the feasibility studies and confirmation of additional new office projects for the national departments. It also looks into the refurbishment of vacant buildings. Feasibility studies also is catered for within this project. The construction of projects which we have already indicated as to how many are there, 598 projects in capital, 337 in terms of financial figures in the maintenance, and also in the area of recoverable projects. We do also projects that are outside the department, outside the country in relation to the embassies. Currently, we are focused in the Zanin project, the Waterloo Runaway project, which has already been completed, and the repair and maintenance projects. We also ensure that we update the technical norms and standards for design and construction of projects. We do also site identification and clearance for the development of projects. We also develop the green buildings and sustainable come up with sustainable principles. We also focus on the dolomite risk management strategy to inform the planning and remedy the sinkholes. The special projects branch focus mainly in the area of land ports of entry, which currently the main or key are the Golela, Skelper Deck, Falls Drift, Fuel Drift. Thanks very much, Minister. And the Lebombo Resano. The Pan-African Parliament is also one of the key projects that the department is taking care of. We also look into the area of the 2010 FIFA World Cup activities to ensure that the infrastructure is actually developed accordingly. The expanded public programs, I think the Minister has covered some areas in that regard. There is a 4.5 million multi-target in the various sectors, namely social, infrastructure, economic, environmental, and culture and non-state sector. We also ensure that we implement the incentive grant. EPWP also ensures that we implement the non-state sector for the first time in strategic partnership with the NGOs, CBOs, and NPOs. We implement the incentive scheme in the environment and culture and non-state sector and community works program, of which the community works program has already been transferred to the Department of Traditional Affairs. We also ensure that we implement the recommendations of the presidential review with respect to the expanded public works programs. Those recommendations, we have actually developed an implementation strategy to ensure that we respond to those questions that have been raised the EPWP work opportunity target per sector, as indicated, per sector, infrastructure, environmental, social, and the non-state sector, of which the total figures in terms of work opportunities are 4.5 million, with respect to the full-time equivalent are 2 million. EPWP work opportunity target of government in terms of the financial years 2009-10, 2010-11 financial year, 12 and 13 financial year, 13 and 14 financial year, as indicated in the graphs there. These are target for work opportunities. The construction and property policy regulation focuses mainly on the development of policies and also research in areas that we believe that we need to improve with respect to service delivery to our client, and also ensure that we implement the construction and property charters. We also look into the National Contractor Development Program, which encapsulates the Contractor Incubator Program and also the Property Incubator Program. We are also looking into the area of extending the GIAMA principles to local government. And then this financial year, we'll also look into the bring back the Expropriation Act, which we are working on currently. The Finance and Supply Chain Management branch is focused mainly in ensuring that we implement the supporting aspect with respect to the finances and the supply management principles within the Department of Public Works. We also ensure that we come up with programs that and processes in order that we comply with the gap with respect to our PMTE. We also ensure that we improve the revenue collection and debtors management, improve internal controls and with respect to also the 30 days payment that has already been alluded to by the minister, and improve the supply chain management in general in the whole organization, and also improve the management of movable assets, which is one of the areas which has been identified by the Auditor General. Corporate services is also the support branch with respect to the IT, the human resources, security-related matters, communications, legal services, and so forth. In this area, that is where we implement all the initiatives that seeks to support the entire organization. There's also structures that ensure that it strengthens the management of the department in relation to the strategic management unit, which ensures that we develop the strategic plan of the department. We align the country's national plan from the National Planning Commission in the presidency. We also develop the business planning of the department to ensure that they are aligned, and also bring on board what regional offices are doing. And we coordinate the processes and ensure alignment with the outcome-based processes and also cabinet clusters. We do also have a unit that is focusing on the monitoring and evaluation in terms of the performance of the department on both a quarterly and also a consolidated approach. This informs the overall performance of the department, which will also ensure that we report accordingly on the performance of the department. The IGR ensures that we create a better relationship with all the stakeholders. We do also have a unit that is focused on the internal audit, which focuses on the risk management, controls and governance processes of the department. We also look into the fraud awareness and investigation processes. Out of this branches, we have identified the key challenges that we thought is wise for us to share with the members. Those challenges relate to the devolution of the budgets to the client, which is a decision which was taken some time ago. which we believe is still a challenge, and also the issue of the scarcity of the built environment professions. This is the area where we contest with the private sector with respect to the engineers, architects, and so forth. So it's a bit difficult to attract such skills. And also insufficient allocation for the occupation-specific dispensation. This is a decision that has been taken to identify some of the disciplines to be scarce to the extent that there should be a dispensation created for them. That dispensation has led to financial constraints, which the department has not been properly allocated funding for it for them. We also identify the government buildings that they require rehabilitation. The vesting as an of state immovable assets is also an issue, but we have come up with interventions that we thought might assist to ameliorate this situation. With respect to the devolution of budgets to plans, we are of the view that engagements with the National Treasury and National Clients Department to agree on the placement or to agree on the funding to be reviewed and allocated to the department and ring-fenced to focus on those clients that have been budgeted for. It could be a better option if the funding are actually ring-fenced in order that the department should not use them for any other thing that is not identified in the budget. Insufficient allocation of funds for occupation-specific dispensation, we said. As a department, despite the fact that we have not been allocated this funding, we will be in a position to reprioritize the budget within the department out of what we have been allocated. With respect to the rehabilitation of government buildings, we will develop an approval of the funding model. We'll develop an approach wherein we can come up with a funding model of how best can we rehabilitate this building, despite the fact that the current budget is not sufficient. We can come up with some interventions with respect to some initiatives. The vesting of state immovable assets, well, the view that the national vesting plan that we have already developed, should we focus in its implementation? This could actually assist us in addressing this particular challenge. Out of what we are doing as a department, we do have public entities that report to the department, which there are four currently. The IDT is one of them, and the CIDB is one of them. Council for Built Environment is one of them, and Agreement South Africa. Out of this presentation, honorable members, I'll hand over to the CFO, who's going to cover the funding and also the expenditure, and also come up with some specific challenges that are related to the financial aspects. CFO.
Honorable Chair, and honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues, I'm going to first present the financial performance of the department for the year ended March 2010. These are the pre-audited financial statements as the audit has only just started. And we only closed the year end last week Friday. We'll be submitting the financials on the 31st of May. For compensation of employees, the allocated budget is $1 billion. We have spent $976 million. Representing 97% of expenditure. The difference of the 3% is largely around the funding that we made available during the adjustment estimates in September to fund our vacant posts, in particular the EPW post. The filling is in process, and this amount will be spent this year when we fill most of those posts. And the goods and services, our budget was $512 million. We spent $495 million, representing 97%. $13 million will be applied on debt write-off. For us to be able to write off debts, we need to create some savings. Therefore, with this amount that we managed to save through our cost-saving mechanism, we will be writing off the approved older standing debt. 5 million has already been requested as a rollover under the energy efficiency. Office accommodation, this is the budget allocated for the offices occupied by Public Works. We had an allocation of 411 million. We spent the full budget. Transfers and subsidies, that includes the incentives under EPWP and the billions that we transferred to the provinces for the property rates. We've spent 95%. The balance that is not spent is largely around the unspent funds under EPWP. Capital infrastructure, we had an allocation of 1.4 billion. We have spent 1.2 billion, representing 86%. We have already submitted our request for rollover to the tune of 141 million. The rest is projects that didn't take off as planned. Under machinery and equipment, we had an allocation of 48 million. We have spent 41 million with 85%, representing 85% spending. The difference is largely attributable to the delays in the invoices that we were supposed to receive for the furniture that we bought for the our new houses in Prestige. Therefore, this brings us to a total of 93% spending as at the end of the financial year. The next slide shows us the spending per program. Program 1, we have spent 100%, this is 99.99%, leaving a very small amount of 737,000. Program 2, which is our core business, we had an allocation of 4.4 billion. 4.1 billion was spent, representing 95% of the budget. Program 3 is our National Public Works Program, which includes our EPWP. We had 851 million. We spent 82% of the budget. That 153 million there is largely attributable to those unspent funds under EPWP. Program 4, that is our auxiliary and associated services. The next slide shows us the devolution of property rates as at the end of 28 February. We are only collating information for March because we closed the financial year last week Friday on the 30th. Most of the provinces are now consolidating and submitting their final expenditure. As at the end of February, this is the picture as reflected, Eastern Cape having spent 46% of the 210 million that was transferred to the provincial public works. Free State, 86%. The percentage shows what the provinces have paid to the municipality. Obviously, the bulk of this amount will reflect in March after the consolidation of the report. Overall, the provinces have spent 77% of the 1.4 billion that was allocated for property rates. Let me also hasten to mention that we, from the National Department of Public Works, we've identified some of the challenges that are leading to slow release of funds to the municipalities. And to this end, we have formed a forum which is comprised of the HODs of the Provincial Public Works, Southern National Treasury Corps, and DPW. The main issues that we are discussing in that forum is the funding model, which most of the provinces are having challenges with the amounts that were devolved in 2006 when this devolution started. The interest charges from municipalities due to late payments, inadequate capacity within municipalities to be able to generate invoices and submit to provincial departments on time, the prescription periods where some of these properties that were never rated in the previous years, as and when they are identified, they are billed retrospectively from when we should have started, and the property rate in general on government property, which most of the provinces felt we need to revisit how government gets charged in this area. The one of the key challenges is also the billing system, where some of the municipalities cannot separate between the services of water and life and the property rates, making payments sometimes a little bit challenging. These are but a few issues that are discussed in this forum to resolve the issue of ensuring that we pay our property rates on time. The next slide will show the MTF allocation as approved and allocated to the department. Under compensation of employees, there I've just shown the 209.10 as discussed, what was allocated. For the 2010-11, our compensation line increases to 1.1 billion, showing an increase of 11%. And for 2012, it goes to 1.2 and 1.3 for 1.250 for the outer year. Goods and services, our budget currently was 512. For the 2010-11, the increase goes to 570, showing also an 11% increase. Office accommodation, that is the offices that we occupy, we had an allocation of 411. The allocation has actually gone down to 351, which we will prioritize within the department to make sure that we are able to pay the PMTE for our accommodation. Transfers and subsidies, we had an allocation of 2.6 billion for 2009-10. The allocation has increased to 3 billion. This would cover the incentives on EPWP and also the transfers for property rates to the provincial public works. Capital infrastructure, we had an allocation of 1.4 billion. For the 2010-11, we actually have 1.3, a decrease of almost 11% if we were to round it off. Payments for capital assets, that is for our movable assets, furniture and IT equipment. We had an allocation of 48 million. This goes up to 70 million for the 2010-11 financial year. That brings our new budget to 6.4 billion. The next slide just shows us the additions and deductions from our baseline. Overall, we received an increase of 97 million, but a decrease of 249 million. The increase relates to compensation of employees, where we were just given an inflation adjustment of 30 million. 10 million to capacitate EPWP and the conditional grants to provinces under the community works program. The adjustments made relate to efficiency savings. This is a deduction that Treasury does to all the departments in trying to ensure that we become cost effective. And the EPWP, this is a transfer that we made to COCTA with regard to the community works. The budget per program, as shown, program one, the budget goes to 663 million. Program two is at 4.250 billion. Our EPWP with a new structure, because in this new financial year we have separated EPWP from program four so that we can see its expenditure on its own. The total budget for program three is now 1.4 billion, which includes the incentives. And this is also earmarked funds. Program 4 is our property and construction industry regulation, sitting at 31.5 million. And program 5 becomes our auxiliary and associated services at 21.8 million. The next slide is just basically the conditional grants managed by the department, which shows the breakdown of the EPWP. The amount that is captured under Program 3 includes the incentives for under the infrastructure grant, local government 622 million, provincial 331, and the EP social sector 56 million, which has already been transferred to COCTA. The devolution of property rates, the allocation for 2010-11 is 1 billion. Specifically and exclusively appropriated, This is the budget that has been allocated, earmarked, and cannot be used for any other purpose in the department. Energy efficiency, we have been allocated to the 75 million. IDT, 10 million for us managing the EPWP project, and the EPWP incentive for non-state sector is 179 million. Below is the breakdown of the infrastructure budget. In the previous slide, I showed that the department is allocated infrastructure budget of 1.3 billion. This is how this 1.3 billion is allocated throughout the program. Departmental includes the office that we are building for our department in Bloemfontein, which takes about 60%, 70% of the 93 million. Accessibility, 15 million, that is the amount allocated to make our buildings accessible. 160 million is for the dynamite risk management as broken down according to those client departments where we are doing the dolomite assessment. Land ports of entry, as that is the breakdown in terms of these and the border gate, we've allocated 561 million and under the prestige environment 283 million. In a city regeneration with 200 million. This is how we've allocated the 1.3 billion of the department. The next slide shows the budget allocation for the devolution of property rates and taxes grant to provinces. I've included the 20910 just to show what is it that was allocated with that total of 1.3. And the allocation for 2010-11, which is slightly lesser at a billion. These are some of the issues that we are discussing in that forum. If you look at some of the provinces like Gauteng, the allocation for 2009-10 was 383 million, but for the new financial year 2010-11, it goes down to 191. And we also have KZN also having challenges with the allocation. This is the amounts that will be transferred in three tranches ending October 2010. By October 2010, the full billion would have been transferred to the provinces. We have aligned the transfers in line with the valuation role and the time when the municipalities are able to submit invoices to the department, to the provincial department. The next slide is the financial performance and new budget allocation for the client capital budget. As a department, even though we have a budget of 6.4 billion that we are managing, we also have 2.4 billion that we are managing. These are the capital budget sitting with the client department. And the acting DG earlier mentioned one of the challenges as to the budgets that are sitting in client departments for projects that we are handling in the department. Agriculture, for 2009-10, we had an allocation of 18.5 million. This is the agreement that was signed off with the client department in terms of the projects that we have to implement on their behalf. We have spent 99% of the budget. Their new allocation, what they've agreed with us, is 24 million for projects that we are going to undertake during 2010-2011. Arts and culture, the budget was 156 million. We have spent 86.87%. The new allocation in terms of the project is 151 million. Correctional services, we had a budget of 709 million. We've spent 680, 96% of the budget has been spent. The new allocation is 854. Defense, 176 million. We've spent 99%. The new allocation in terms of projects is 192. Health, we had an allocation of 25 million. We've spent 14, and which represents only 56% of the budget. The new allocation is 8.5 million. Home Affairs, we had an allocation of 37.8 million. We spent 27, representing 31%, and for for the new financial year, they've given us projects to the value of 49 million. Justice and constitutional development, we've spent almost the entire budget of the allocated 456. They've given us new projects that we are going to be implementing for 409 million. Labor, we had an allocation of 35 million. We have spent 25, representing 72%. And for this year, under review, there is 7.8 million that has to be spent on projects. Rural development and land reform, 5.6 million. We've spent 81% of the budget. For this year, 2010-11, we have agreed on projects amounting to 12 million. The sub SA police, 875 million, that is a project that we were handling. We've spent almost 100%, 872 of the budget. And for this year, 2010-11, we have agreed on 717 million worth of projects that we will be implementing on behalf of them. The ones that are showing slower percentages, like 71% and the 56%, these are largely attributable to delays in service level agreements and agreeing on the budget. I think this concludes the presentation on the financial. Thank you.
I go through the presentations and looking at the documents, there are lots of abbreviations. And even when you are alone at home, you want to go through the documents so that you understand it. Because you give us the documents today, you present. And when you get Roma and Roma, you are going to remain. But if you give them to us before, maybe we can ask our researcher, what does Kofta mean? For instance, you remain, I don't know how to put it, but you get my point, just a minute. This is just that you ask, what am I working in the department full time like this? We end up agreeing without understanding because we cannot be going page by page asking what does Kofta mean? What does CET what mean? It's like you are making. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, I will also thank the Honourable Minister for the presentation by Kivas. I think there's a lot of information in this document, and I have some questions here and there, and I believe you will answer it fast. You mentioned about buildings are in the hand of the provinces, and not in the hands of national, if it comes to public work. I want to know, if something is going wrong in a province, who are taking the responsibility at the end of the day on behalf of that buildings or public work? Is it national side? What happened in such a situation? Because in my province, we've had a couple of these situations where buildings are half built, the contractors are gone, and now it's just standing there. And you can't use it, the province can't use it, and no one is willing to take the responsibility at the end of the day. So I want to know, what is your involvement on government side then at the end of the day? And then the asset registers we have in different provinces. I believe each and every province must have their own asset register. And how are you coordinating these asset registers from national side? And do you have all the provinces' asset registers here somewhere? And so that we can see what's going on in the provinces with the money spent by public works. Then the training programs is slide 9. We mentioned there about skilled people. We train them. There's training centers in South Africa. How many training centers are there to give the people the necessary skills to get into a job? And what I'm worrying about is now we train a lot of people. And when they finish with the training, there's no job for them. How are you managing from government side to see that we train skilled, we train people, and that they, at the end of the day, there will be a job for these people in a certain career to help them? And is this jobs and skills sustainable? So can we give people, if they're not jobs, to give them the job so that they can look after their families into the future? Slide 14, there's also, and that is the area where I'm coming from, and that is the government area at Carlton Road. We've got a lot of problems there. And as you know, in Kutsong, we must shift basically the whole area. All the houses must be shipped to a new area. And what is the involvement of public works from national side into this area? Because there must be a lot of investigation Were you involved in this investigation when they start building new houses on a new area? And when they are going to shift these people at a certain stage, I think it is 20,000 houses to be built in that area. What are you involved in at the end of the day when they completed this project? And also, slide 21, the human resources and management plan. I believe that we train the people now and with this human resources, that's also in Kutsong. Are these plans in your budget? Was you budgeting for this, a lot of houses being built there at a certain stage? Slide 24, it is there. I'm just asking a question about fraud, Honorable Chairperson. What are the measures the department have in place? Because it is so broad, you must have an eye over all the provinces. And how are you measure the funds you give to the provinces in their budgets? How do you measure that? And I think this is the place where the most fraud is taking place, is when we are busy with human resources, building houses and all that kind of thing. Contractors. I think that is. How are you measuring all this and keep it in hand so that you are on top of each and every province? Chairperson, can I ask? Or must I stop now?
Okay.
Can I carry on? Thank you. Slide 26, government buildings, rehabilitation. Chairperson, Honorable Minister, here is still in Carltonville. They established a police station. Millions of rands was getting into that police station. And at the end of the day, when they completed it, nothing happened. They do not occupy it. They're still hiding a building in Carltonville, and now vandalism is taking place into that building. And I'm telling you, it's falling apart now at this stage. And it was never being used after millions of rand was spent on that specific police station in Carltonville. It's in town. And it's also about Dolomite and that kind of thing was happening in activity there. I think I'll stop here. I've got another question sometime. Then you can carry on around. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Let me also thank the department, especially the minister, and the deputy minister between us. My first one, I'll answer certain the questions that was asked honorable minister by the chairperson when he started about the acting by when he is acting comes to an end, because sometimes we leave it until the 5 years to And I'll also make a follow-up on the question of my colleague, Honorable Mabija, on the acronym that are fully in this document. That's definitely so that if you are alone, you want to go through the document, definitely sometimes you are unable to actually get the information straight to the constituencies that we are representing. My first question also is on accessibility of public spaces. If maybe the department can make us aware or give us information of whether there has been an audit in the public buildings in the provinces. If we have that information, like to have it as the implementation of the comprehensive grant, Minister, can we maybe be aware of by when will this implementation start? There is another one is on working with the President to enhance accountability arrangements in the three spheres to meet targets, community work focus. I would like to know how our province is going to be involved in this. And the other one, the Deputy Minister will agree with me that I won't feel pretty easily. I use this meeting before asking the agenda focal point of the department. Do we have in the department the gender focal point? If we do have a gender focal point, at what level is the head of that unit, or even maybe if we can get the how many people are in the unit, if there is any. And buildings in the provinces, does the department have a list of these, then let's say the national buildings in each province? In each province, if the department has, I remember last year we were in G26. I did ask the very same question of a list of buildings in each province, the ones that belong to national. And I even motivated to say, for example, if maybe we are in constituency period, all we go for a provincial week. Some other buildings, you find they are locked, they are not being utilized. So if maybe the department can make us aware whether you do make an audit of your national buildings in this province. Because let me say that as the select committee, actually we represent provinces, and like even last week said, presentations can't come to the select committee. Definitely they must reflect the provincial information so that when we are in our constituencies, we are able to go direct to the information that we have been given by the National Department. And so the last one, Minister, you raised the uptake of young people. I didn't hear you mention of women and people with disabilities.
Well, let me also ask some few. Okay, maybe before I.
Just before you come in, I just want to give an example of the building infrastructure that are neglected. In Limpopo around Gwembe region, during those years we had a very, very beautiful, respectful building where the president and Mpeku used to stay. And that place now is like, I don't know that the standard has gone so low. I don't know whether it's bought by somebody or whoever, but to the eyes of the community, it has a negative impact on the present administration. There are lots of buildings that are not working around where I say I'm talking from experience. And you don't even know who is responsible. And that has a very, very negative impact to the eye of body of the thing can be taking only the responsibility, even though they are bought or they are linked to whatever. But I should think that there must be a tool so that our little towns are not still like they are dead towns. And you come to Cape Town and find everything is shining. There's electricity that is never cut. All those things.
Maybe I will try to come up with a solution on the issue of acronyms. Maybe at the end of each page, there must be footnotes that will indicate each acronym that has been mentioned in that slide. I think it will assist us a great deal. The other one, the minister talked about reclaiming his the mandate. I just want to check how far has he gone into that, because last time when we were here, we raised some of the issues of this mandate that needs to be reclaimed. So I just want to check on that one. The other one, that maybe I don't know whether it falls under your department. Normally when these malls are built, there is no provision that has been made for people who are living in Dakshina. There is no public transport that takes these people to malls. I know nowadays these malls are built in the township, but the ones that are built in towns, how do we make provision for people? Because seemingly provision is only made for people who have cars. What effect of a person who does not have a car? So how do we provide transport for them to these malls? And out of interest, in slide number 7, there is this feasibility study for additional new head office projects in Swat. Is this in anticipation of the movement of Parliament to Pretoria? And do we have enough office space maybe for parliamentarians if that it moves to Pretoria? The other one, it concerns the issue of rehabilitation of buildings. I don't know, why don't we have a maintenance plan rather than have rehabilitation? Because if we say we are rehabilitating, it means those buildings have never been maintained. And but if we have a maintenance unit which is looking after those buildings, there won't be any need for a rehabilitation plan. Also on this issue of EPWP, I just want to check whether you have the record of these people who have qualified. And now, can we be able to trace them if we need them? And how do we assist them after they have qualified? And you also talked about an expropriation act. Can we maybe get the details of that act? And now, also there are these monies that have been transferred to provinces as well as to municipalities. How do you monitor the usage of those funds? And also, if there is minimal usage of those funds, what capacity do you give as department to provinces or even to municipalities which cannot use that? We visited Agreement South Africa. I just want to check, is that one not a duplication of SABS? How do we differ from Agreement South Africa as well as the SABS, if I could get clarity on that one too? Yeah, I think I'm through with my question, so we can get responses.
assist us. But I think maybe we should just sketch the mandate of the National Department of Public Works, because I think it's very important, given that the select committee is different to the portfolio committee in terms of your oversight being more responsible or leaning towards the provinces. I think Honorable Temba will assist me here with her legal background. But there's a clause in the Constitution under Schedule 4 that creates a little bit of a difference for us. We are different to Home Affairs, we are different to Housing, we're different to Health, we're different to a number of departments where there are concurrent functions. Like, for instance, Housing, you'll know there's a National Department of Housing, it's also a provincial competency. But the funding for Housing will come through the national to the provinces. If a province fails to spend, the National Department can take it away and give it to Province B. Our transfers are different. Our transfers are specific, and CFO will speak to what the difference is between transfers. So we're not quite the same as Housing. Then, let me also just say that the mandate of the National Department of Public Works is different to what you find at the provincial level. For instance, at the provincial level, they might be responsible for roads. We're not responsible for roads. There are certain aspects in the questions that have been raised that are not the mandate of the National Department of Public Works. And Chairperson, I sympathize with the honorable members if these things boggle the mind, because it took me a long time to understand this myself. But I have a proposal that I'll make a little bit later in how we can assist you, because I think it's going to be important for you to assist us in terms of what falls within the mandate of the province, and as the NCOP, how you can assist us to assist them in some of the challenges that we're having. So it's all about cooperative governance within the sphere, because it's not a simple issue. For instance, Chairperson, I'll just give you a few examples. That when the homelands came back into RSA, the properties, those that could be identified, because a lot of paperwork and deeds disappeared deliberately. I think people were under the view that nobody would notice and that later they would emerge as property owners. But a lot of the former homelands, self-governing territories, whatever they were called, those properties were vested in the RSA. And then later on, they evolved to the different provinces. Now, in some cases, the provinces, in the particular case that I know of, a province then said, but we don't want these properties. We want to give them back to you. But it doesn't happen like that. You've got to actually get involved and make sure that the processes actually return those properties to where they need to be. So in some of the instances, there was a little bit of haste going back to the historical events. There was a bit of haste to claim as much land and as much of the properties that provinces could possibly get, not bearing in mind that how they would maintain them, whether there would be budgets for, whether funds would be allocated, and as a result of that, some of the properties have landed in disrepair, and in fact are not part of the core mandate of some of those provincial departments. So it's a bit of a grey area that we're going to have to try and assist with. And to assist with this, the last cabinet Lohudla took a decision that the Minister of Public Works, the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform be part of an interministerial task team at a national level that's going to work with premiers, with MECs relevant to those portfolios, as well as the Auditor General and the Accountant General, to make sure that we begin to look at these properties that Honorable Mabija, that you are referring to. Because we need to hone in on specifically these properties and find out who owns these properties and what do we do about them. Are they core to the mandate? Or let's say, for instance, the property you raise, the example you may raise. I don't know who owns that property, but let's say it belongs to the province. The province might say, this is not core to our mandate. then what do we do to assist the province in that particular problem? Hence, we come back somewhere along the line to the disposal policy. Do we dispose of that policy and return the money to the fiscus? Do we hang on to it? Has it got value to that particular government that's sitting with it? And if it does have value, then how do we find the money to upgrade the building, rehabilitate it so that it can serve the purpose for which it is there for? Now, there's been a lot of changes that have happened. You may recall those honourable members that were in Parliament at the time of late Minister Sikau. She was very passionate about bringing about the dignity of the royal palaces, the traditional leaders, providing them with facilities. That started off as a national program, but it was devolved to the provinces. And it now resides with the national, with the provincial governments, also through, if I can use the abbreviation, Honorable Mabija, of COPTA, which is the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. That particular department has a role to play. Now, that started off as a public works thing. It now resides with COPTA, and it resides with the relevant MEC in the province. So there have been some shifts that have happened in the interim, and some of the difficulties and the challenges we have are trying to assist the provinces in trying to unravel some of these problematic areas that we've identified. But I will come back at the end of this and make a suggestion on how I think we can try and assist each other in the spirit of cooperative governance to try and find solutions, not only as far as provincial governments are concerned, but also local governments, because that's where some of the property rights issues reside and find themselves playing a significant role and a drain on local government structures. But let's ask Deputy Minister might want to assist with some responses, but let's ask the team to assist us in terms of the issues raised, and I'll come in at the end again, Chairperson, to try and cover what might not have been done.
Maybe before DM, I just want to suggest that colleagues take those questions, and after DM, we put the technical aspect with respect to responses. I have noted the pinned inputs and questions which we may want to respond. I'll suggest out of those, CFO will take the allocations, the first one, with respect to what determines the allocations. And then number two, it will be Stanley with respect to the EPWP, the short span of the EPWP jobs, linked with the question number 11, which talks about the implementation of the incentive grant, if you can take those, and then the custodianship of buildings in provinces. We may say, CEO, you'll take that one. The issue of training centers and what happens with the people who are training, I'll suggest that who have been trained, I'll suggest that Lucky, you take that one with respect to the programs that we have in the department. And also linking it up as to whether the plans, the HR planning that is here, is it linked to the strategic plan? There's also a question that relates to the issue of the fraud. What are the measures that the department has? I think CFO is going to take that one also. And then the rehabilitation versus maintenance. Sasa, you'll guide us. But with specific reference to that Callertonville police station, I would suggest that in case we have an answer now, we respond. If we don't have, we may want to present a progress report as to what happens, because this is a specific issue that we need to follow on. It's not occupied, it has been built. What are the issues? I think we may also look into the question of for accessibility, as to whether do we have an audit with respect to all the properties in the regional, in the provinces. Sasa, you may look into that also. the issue of working with the presidency with respect to enhance the accountability, it is also within the EPWP. Stan, you may add into that. The gender focal point and the level of the employees who are in the gender. Lucky, you'll take that one again. And the issue of, I think also, Sis Lydia, you can add as to where are we in that regard. The national buildings that are in each province, as to whether we have an audit, do we know, how do we know them and so forth. I think, Sasa, you'll add on that one. The issue of transport and so forth, I think Minister tried to cover the mandates and how do we engage in that regard. There's also a question that needs us to explain, this inner city. Head offices in Pretoria, Tshwane in particular, what is the plan? Where does it come from? Where are we? The issue of comments with respect to Parliament, taking Parliament to county, I think we'll clarify that one. There's also the issue of the record. Do we have the record of employees or people who have participated in the EPWP? We may want to clarify that one. Finally, expropriation, says Lydia, you assist. Transfers to municipalities, the monitoring aspect, you'll cover that one. Agrima South Africa vis-a-vis, I think, Mr. Babuza, you'll clarify also on that one. Vis-a-vis SABS. Thanks very much. Maybe before we can wait for Deputy Minister to respond. Oh, Deputy Minister is fine. Let's just respond to those.
She deployed me.
Yeah, don't be surprised when the Deputy Minister leaves at 12 o'clock. She has asked to excuse his tenure and other meetings. And leave it at that.
The first question on what determines the allocation to each province, I'll respond specifically to the devolution, because that's where we transfer funds to the provinces, and Sandy will add on the EPWP, the incentive. On the property rate, in 2006, the allocation was based on the properties that National Public Works was paying for. So with the devolution, the asset register was analyzed to say this is how much we are paying per province for these properties, and those were devolved to the provinces with the concomitant budget. Over the years, this amount has been escalated mainly with inflation, and that is why in the forum that we have established, we are looking at the funding model to say it did not take into consideration the new properties that were not previously managed through DPW. Then in terms of the proposed allocations or the projected allocations, National Treasury engages with the provincial treasuries and the provincial public works to agree on the proposed amounts for the allocation for any shortfall after what we had devolved. On the fraud, because these are conditional grants, we have a framework within the conditional grants that we follow, where the provinces report on a quarterly basis in terms of the funds that have been spent that has been transferred to the municipality. And we receive reports from National Treasury, we also receive reports from the provinces themselves informing us of the invoices that have been billed. That is the mechanism that we have currently in terms of managing the funds that we are transferring on property rates. And on the EPWP incentives, there's a full M&E unit within EPWP that monitors all the transfers that go to the municipalities or the provinces that have managed to achieve the targets required by EPWP for us to release the incentive grant. So there is a whole process of auditing the information that has been provided. In fact, it has been enhanced with phase two, where we've got IDs and a proper monitoring system that goes to check who has actually participated on the EPWP. And that's how we try and manage the transfers going forward. But internally in the department, there is a fraud prevention plan that we implement to manage the transfer.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members, I will respond to the questions as identified by the DG. There may be a few questions that are related to that. But with respect to the question on the allocation of buildings to provinces vis-a-vis National Department of Public Works, I think it would be very useful for us just to inform members of how we are organized. In terms of our value chain for public works, our head office is responsible for strategic planning, conceptualization, and investment analysis. The execution part, the operation part, and disposal part takes place in our regions, but only with respect to national assets. So all of the national assets, the main ones being with correctional services, with police, with the Department of Justice, those are the buildings that would be in our responsibility. Our asset register also makes or takes account of those assets. All of the national assets utilized by national client departments, including this prestige environment, those are the assets that are with the National Department of Public Works. Provincial assets are under the custodianship of provincial departments of public works in most cases. I say most cases because there are some provinces that have, for example, taken over educational facilities. So that's just in terms of the split of how the allocation of buildings are made between National Department of Public Works vis-a-vis provincial departments of public works. Then a question related to that, which may partly have been answered, was by Honourable Member Groenewald. How do you measure and manage funds allocated to provinces? Again, we'll answer that question with respect to regional offices. We don't allocate funding to provinces for their real property services needs. It should be capital works, property management, plan maintenance. We allocate funding to regional offices. We manage that. We have a central database that we use. First of all, a financial management system, which is BAS. But we also have business systems, which manages the project environment, which we call our worst control system. And we have a central database, which is our asset register, which is the PMIS, that manages facilities management, reactive maintenance, cleaning and gardening facilities. We manage all of that under the regulations prescribed by us, so the PFMA, and related legislation to that. I thought I needed to give some sort of an answer with regards to the Carltonville Police Station that was constructed and now left as a white elephant. Although we don't have full information on that, I can say that it is in a dolomitic area, and it is probably the case that it has been declared dangerous or risky, in which case there would be a plan to deal with an alternative facility, which includes the demolition of this. We're not putting our neck on a block, but as the DG said, we will revert to you on the status of that particular. Also, with regards to the question on the dolomite risk in the Khutsong area and whether public works will be responsible for the moving of the 20,000 people. Our responsibility is that of we developed the dolomite risk management strategy. We identify the areas of risk, and we then advise. The responsibility of the movement or demolition or reconstruction of facilities affected by that risk area lies with the custodian of that particular department. So if it's residences, it will be the Department of Human Settlements. If it's our own facilities, then the Department of Public Works, together with the relevant client departments, will then agree on a plan to demolish and reconstruct facilities elsewhere. So, but that will be in an advisory capacity from Public Works. I think my colleagues will add, but members will know that there was a cabinet decision way back in, I think it was 1998, that in the city of Tshwane, departments should be located in the CBD of Pretoria. That cabinet resolution still stands. However, it does not come without its challenges. So all we're saying is that, and I don't think we want to comment where the parliament is going to move to Pretoria. I don't think that's the reason for us procuring accommodation there. We procure accommodation on behalf of our clients according to their need. But let it be said that the city of Tshwane is becoming very overcrowded. And at some stage we may want to review that. We are looking at other models. We do have the inner city project in Tshwane as well as other regions. But it's something that I think we need to come back to you on and flag an item that we can continually report to the members on. I think, TG, that might have covered some of the areas.
Thanks, TG. I'll deal with the question of the SABS vis-a-vis Adima South Africa. The SABS, obviously, Honorable Chairperson, is a statutory body that is established in terms of an Act of Parliament, and two particular acts are relevant in this regard. It is the Standards Act of 1945, amended again as the Standards Act of 2008. It is established as an institution that should be focusing on the promotion and maintenance of standardization and providing quality in rendering services. And in this regard, amongst its responsibility, focuses on testing and certifying products, technical regulations, and the promotion of design excellence. According to this two Standardization Act of 1945 and 2008, there is a particular focus in terms of industry sectors that SABS should be focusing on. And it includes the chemicals industry, the electrotechnical, food and health, mining and minerals, services and transportation. You would appreciate that from this particular act, there is one particular industry sector which is not included, and that is the construction industry. Therefore, the Agrimo South Africa, its major focus, it is the certification of non-standardized material in the built environment. It developed and certified alternative construction material. And therefore, in that context, Agrimo South Africa is to the construction industry what the SABS is to the other industry sectors which are stipulated in terms of the Act of Standardization. So that is the major contract distinction between SABS and Agrimo SA. Obviously, you would appreciate in the recent past, the Executive Authority of Public Works flagged the issue of perhaps an attempt will have to be made to raise a debate as to the location of Agrimo SA in public works or somewhere else. And these are matters that the Minister of Public Works is currently applying his mind to clarify this particular question. So the distinction, it is as stipulated in the Act. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable
members. To respond to the question on how we are coordinating the asset register across so DPW National is providing a legal leadership role via the IAMA technical team. And basically what we've done is that we've assessed that provinces are using various types, various different asset registers, but the most common being the PMIS, which is the Property Management Information System. However, there are some provinces that use, for example, the Access database. So we're trying to get a common platform that we can share across government. Currently, we're working and we're testing. It's work in progress, the IE work. But with that being said, we're also going to be looking at best practice systems that can be working across for government. Relevant to accessibility of public buildings and if DPW have concluded an audit. We do have a listing of buildings in each of our provinces where we have the custodianship role DPW of all the buildings that require to be made accessible. And we're currently busy with our program, and I can provide some feedback on that.
But just to indicate, in terms of the audit we've completed in portfolios as well, we've completed for justice and staff. So that's a totally completed audit. We have 22 buildings currently in planning, 114 buildings under construction, 38 buildings have been completed last financial year, and we've planned now 36 new buildings to go onto the program, and I think you can appreciate that this is all linked to an appropriate budget that has been apportioned. Listing of buildings, the question as to whether we have listing of buildings, unutilized buildings in each province, once again, relevant to National Department of Public Works, we do indeed have a listing of unutilized buildings. And we actually have a program as well that's called the Rehabilitation Program, where we're rehabilitating all our buildings that are unutilized. They're on the program, and unfortunately, not all of them are funded. We're hoping to achieve at least about refurbished about 100 odd buildings by the year 2014. Once again, subject to the appropriate budgeting portion to us. The question relevant to rehabilitation of the rehabilitation of buildings versus the maintenance plan. I think the question is appreciated because sometimes we tend to use rehabilitation, given that the audience may understand that plan and maintenance is included. But within the department, we have the following programs. We have a plan maintenance implementation program, and that is based on a listing of projects that are submitted, once again prioritized in terms of importance for the occupational statutory requirements, as well as linked to a budget. We have a plan maintenance program, and this is across all the provinces that we program manage at a national level. We also have day-to-day maintenance, and that, unfortunately, is the reactive part of maintenance, but in any organization, we're going to have day-to-day maintenance aspects coming through. We also have facilities management contracts in the prestige environment in Cape Town. This is fully operational, but it's also part of the planned maintenance program. We would like to have facilities management and a maintenance plan for each and every government building. I think we're talking across 75,000 buildings, but we aim to get there, and we are working towards that, but this will be a long process. In the interim, we're dealing with you know, the audit information that comes through from our technical team, etc., respond accordingly and create our plans in and around.
Thank you, Honourable Member Moore, actually. On expropriation, the current Expropriation Act is amended goes back as far as 1975. It guides and regulates the expropriation of property by expropriating authorities. There are a number of expropriating authorities. It may be national government, it may be federal spheres of government, as well as state-owned areas. As you will appreciate, the Act is totally outdated with the Constitution. We are amending it to align it with the Constitution. But more importantly, it details the process of expropriation. Right now, we will find that the more conflicts in the expropriation process are around the issue of compensation, how much we should compensate, whether we should expropriate it all, but the Act regulates that. It will detail at what point we should expropriate and how we calculate the compensation. It also makes provision for the establishment of a technical board that will assist the municipal or the expropriating authorities. So we are aligning with the Constitution and detailing the process so that whether you are in local government or a state-owned entity, you know exactly, you know, what you need to do when you expropriate. It will tell you when you submit a proposal for expropriation, how many days you should do the expropriate, so, and how many days you should do certain things. That's what the act needs to do.
Chair, members, I will respond to the questions relating to the expanded public works program. The short-term nature of the work opportunities within the EPWP, it should be emphasized that we have both short and longer-term work opportunities in the expanded public works program. They vary from 4 to 6 months in the infrastructure sector, up to 2 years in the environment and culture sector, programs such as working for water, working veterans, etc., as well as the social sector, ECD and HCBC caregivers. So it is a big bunch, and it should be emphasized that initiatives within the EPWP, they are project-based. If a low-volume road is built for a period of 6 months, it means there will be a work opportunity for 6 months. But in other cases, as I said, in social sector and environmental sector, it's longer in duration. The sustainability of the expanded public works program just relates directly to the first point. It should be emphasized that we should clearly understand the role of the expanded public works program. An environment where the formal economy sheds jobs, it is important to emphasize that this particular initiative is actually like catching up those that are falling through, and hence this is it is not put forward as sustainable jobs of long period of time, but we want to emphasize that there are elements of sustainability. Touch on this the particular point about the EPLP is that it should not displace existing jobs because they do not make a contribution, and therefore only people in existing jobs will be drawn into the program. So the program is geared to draw those unemployed people into the world of work and then giving them the opportunity to get some training here to exit into more permanent work or jobs. The community work program, it is, it was launched by the presidency some time back. There are four pilot sites, Munsingwe, Bokfontein, etc. Since then, it has been formalized within the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, or CAPTEC. And our province has become involved, that we should understand that the name community work program says communities themselves will be involved. And they prioritize what are the pressing needs within the communities. And therefore, within the community work program, there's a mixed bunch of projects. Sometimes it would be the rehabilitation of roads within the area, like paving and all those kind of things, as well as social sector and environmental issues. But it's prioritized by the communities themselves, and therefore it's at that level that people should become directly involved through CUT. Tracking of EPWP participants, yes, we do have in phase two the ID numbers that we capture, so it's possible to track where people are going and how, whether or not they actually exit the program and how many actually have to take up, move sometimes actually move from one project into another, what comes to the end, it's like they move to another one, so it's possible to track that. And linked to that particular question, the issue of exit strategy, it is an extremely challenging one in an environment, as I said, where the formal economy cannot absorb. We have jobless growth. There's no formal absorption of people into the labour market. But be that as it may, we should say there are the promising elements is that we have seen people moving into contracts development, through our computer program. We he has also seen people moving into further training based on the initial training that they have received in some projects. And we have numerous examples from, such as the in the Working for Water environment, where people started off as EPWC beneficiaries, and where they have actually moved into the formal management environment. That's but one example of the program. Yeah, I think that covers the entire question that I wanted to thank you.
Honourable Chair and Minister and colleagues, I will just add a few words on the issue of Dolomite, if I may, and on the inner city. Thank you. Dolomite is an issue of national concern. It's very dispersed throughout the country, and it affects the land on which we do our developments. The most important role player, however, is the Department of Mineral Resources through its agency known as the Council of the Geoscience. There's currently a bill to amend the Council of Geoscience Act, which seeks to make changes to the Act so as to incorporate a measure of control on development to avoid problems like Kutson, and basically ensure that both the private and the public sector are aware of these things and have certain responsibilities before they go in and develop. Of interest to you, sir, is that the National Department is developing a geographic information system, which seeks to determine dolomitic areas under its own land. Because we are doing quite good work in that sphere, we're being approached on an ad hoc basis by both the private sector and the provincial and local authorities for assistance. With regards to the Carltonville Police Station, and I'd like to be very specific in respect to an SMS that I've just received, it was vacated due to sinkholes developing under the cell block and poor condition of wet services increasing further risks of a sinkhole. The wet services have been replaced, being the pipes, to comply with dolomitic standards, and our Mabaja Regional Office is currently in planning a new cell block for new construction. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Shafa, honorable members, minister, and colleagues. I think the issue of our training in government came under a lot of scrutiny recently when there was a meeting between the president and the top manager in government, and it was stretched out extensively. And interestingly, even the Government Management Development Agency that has been entrusted with running training in government, was there, and they also acknowledge, the poverty of, training in general in government. But coming back to the Department of Public Works, yes, we do have a budget for training, but like most other budgets, it's not enough, we believe. We have said that some of the challenges that we are picking up as a department is just the insufficient financial resources that we have. However, be that as it may, it hasn't really stopped the department from forging ahead with coming up, with models to expedite the training in the department. I'm just going to take you through a few of them. At the moment, as a department, we do issue bursaries to students both internally as well as externally from outside of the department. These bursaries are specifically, focused on those core areas that are important to the business of the department, this being, your asset and property management, studies, as well as your professional services, including all the, your engineering, your architecture, your landscaping, and so forth. So the department, continues to offer bursaries. And in doing that, we actually have established a working relationship with a number of tertiary institutions, in the country, especially those that are responsible for offering these courses. But the other initiative also involves the internships as well as the learnerships that we have in the department. With regard to the internship, we have been recruiting into the department students that have got a technical background in terms of their studies, who will come into the department to do experiential training, but also to come to the department also for purposes of further development. So we do have these programs in place. Currently, we've got almost 100 artisans you know, that as part of our learnerships are out there, you know, in the region, you know, undertaking various forms of artisan work, including plumbing, as well as, you know, carpentry and so forth. You know, all the, you know, relevant, you know, artisan fields that you can think of, you know, under the built environment. But also with regard to our public entities, the Council for the Built Environment on daily basis, you know, it engages with both the council as well as the tertiary institution in an effort, you know, to try to address, you know, the whole issue of both the training as well as the availability, you know, of skills. I know that, you know, at some stage it was muted, you know, very largely in the department that there is an effort also to resuscitate some of the workshops that in the past, you know, were used to train, you know, the artisans for purposes of, you know, apprenticeship. With regard to the, you know, the availability and the number of the training centers in the country, I don't have that, you know, information, you know, with me. But I know for a fact that as part of the EPWP training, you know, there was a lot of, you know, cooperation between the, you know, government and the FETs, you know, the, you know, FEDA and FEDA education and training, you know, colleges, you know, that were, you know, that were there. So we have been forging, you know, those working relationships, you know, with this, you know, centers throughout, you know, the country. With regard to the gender unit, yes, we do have a very well-staffed gender unit. It's established at the chief directorate level. It's headed by a chief director. The chief director responsible is Mayor Reverend Naledi Stemere. She's heading, you know, the gender, you know, unit. And I think she's got about two or three, you know, directors working, you know, with her. But like any other, you know, support unit in the department, the tendency is, you know, to try to keep them in terms of numbers, you know, to keep them very, very small, because the focus of the department, as we have seen from the strat plan, is really to grow, you know, the core areas of the business of the department. But having said that also, let me just try to sketch it for you, you know, how large they loom in terms of the presence in shaping policy, you know, in the department. If you look at the strategic plan that has just been presented to you, the actual document itself, pages 91 to 93, it gives the breakdown, you know, of some of the, you know, the gender and equity, you know, statistics, you know, in the department. But secondly, at the moment, you know, the unit is responsible for piloting, you know, the disability policy. You know, for a long time as a department, we didn't have a specific policy that talks to, you know, disability issues. You know, they have just, you know, started, you know, with, you know, with that. And beginning of this year, they also started with a survey, just looking generally under or at the conditions under which women, you know, tend to work, you know, in the construction industry. You know, the initiative is called the Colloquium on Experiences of Women in Construction. So these are some of the projects that are actually being undertaken by this, you know, unit. As I've already said, it's a small unit, but in terms of presence, because it is a lobby group, you know, they are actually doing a lot, even to, you know, to give some, you know, pronouncement to some of the policies, you know, of the department. And lastly, members, I think in terms of the sentiment that was expressed regarding the acronym, I was part of the team that was putting together both the presentation and the strategic plan itself. I think, you know, that we acknowledge, we accept. However, we looked at the presentation as just an introduction to the strategic plan itself. In the strategic plan itself, if you go to pages 9 to 11, most of these terms are really explained, you know, in the strategic plan. But having said that, it doesn't excuse us of our insensitivity. With regard to the presentation itself, we still feel that perhaps, you know, we should have done better, you know, with regard to explaining, you know, those. But most of those are explained in the strategic plan that, you know, was circulated. Thanks very much.
Okay, maybe as we would do, we have a sweeper. Maybe I should just sweep some of the issues that have not been done. Honourable Temba, let me deal with the issue of vacancies. Part of what the acting is about is a deliberate move to empower and to share and to expose management at more junior levels. the actual situation of the vacancies is that we don't have a DG, we don't have a COO, and we don't have a DDG or PWP. Two of the vacant positions of DDGs are in the process of being finalized in cabinet, and the appointment of the DG is going to happen in cabinet in a week or two. The shortlisting for the COO is happening as we speak. But we're not a selfish department. Because we have somebody that acts as the DG, he is actually the DDG corporate services. So then we expose somebody else to his position so that we empower people and we expose them to how they would function one day when they get into the position of DDG. So it sounds like the line is all acting. But in fact, if you took the acting out and left them blank, you'd find out that it isn't as bad as it seems. But it's a deliberate intervention to try and empower more people and expose them to what happens at the senior management level. Had we not brought people into acting the position that he's moved out of to act in, it would have created a bit of vacuum, overloaded one person, when in fact you can empower more than one person. So basically that, it sounds a lot worse than what it really is. But I'm happy to say that there's progress in that respect, and soon there won't be anybody acting. I'm sorry that we have to end the Hollywood session, but it's a reality, it's a fact of life. I think, Chairperson, I want to make this offer to the committee. Public works is a lot more complex than what it seems. And I would like to make an offer that we host the select committee. Let's take a day or two of the World Cup recess. And maybe we, not into when the games are happening, but before them. But we host you in Pretoria and we put up a program so that we can then look at how we address the provincial aspect of what public works does. I think there's a lot that we can learn from each other. We can learn from the committee. We've learned from the questions here, Mama Bija. And don't worry about the acronyms. They confuse me too. Sometimes I've got to say that to the team on my right in Dolan, because I don't understand what this acronym is. So there are, a government is made up of these acronyms. But I really think there are questions here that we have not been able to do justice to. For instance, it would take half a day for us to explain to you what the EPWP actually is, and how broad and how big it is. It's much bigger than what we can just put to you in 10, 15 minutes. Also, the issue of the buildings. There's a lot of important questions you are raising that we can't address in this briefing here, but we would need to actually take you through the process. And you would be able to, and I was explaining to my team yesterday, the difference between the NCOP Select Committee and the NA Portfolio Committee. But there is an element that I think we would like to learn from the NCOP in terms of that provincial mandate that you have. How do we engage on that mandate and assist within the legal framework of the Constitution and legislation that exists? And that would also assist you understanding the EPWP in a lot more depth, because I think it's important so that when you go back to the provincial legislature, you can also assist us. If I just take one very complex issue. If you really wanted to understand how the incentive grant works, then you've got to understand how we arrive at a full-time equivalent. And that even had the media boggled their minds yesterday, the way it's sixes and sevens. But I think that it's important that at some stage we be given an opportunity that we can address those issues. On a number of the issues that have been raised, the gender, I would like Acting DG just to come back to. I don't think we responded to the point you raised. Take of women, youth, and then there was an issue of the focal point. I just want to ask Acting DG to respond to that. But on a number of the issues, Chairperson, I really want to say to the committee, we've thrown a lot of information at you this morning. And really, maybe what we need to do is, after the budget vote process, let's identify a date when we can host you in Pretoria. Let's take a day and work through some of these things, because the questions you raise are crucial to our cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations, so that we can try and assist our provinces as well. But I think I've responded to those few issues that might not have been addressed. But the one of the gender is an important issue. Acting DG, if you can assist.
Excuse me, before you come in, there are other two issues that we have not responded to. The accessibility to malls. How do you monitor funds transferred to provinces and municipalities?
interim of funds transferred to provinces.
Just before that, I saw the something that I need to say so that I concentrate on what we are doing now. I should think we should all understand that being here, we are assisting service deliverers so that we are seen to be delivering. And we are not in an interrogation room. When we say we need to be given 1, 2, 3, we mean that so that we can understand. This acronym, I want to speak it out now, that we do not want, as politicians, we come and go. And we do not want to use an understanding that who has more reasoning powers to be more cogent to issues. We need to understand too. And when we say we need things written in full, we mean that as a policy maker, so that we are clear. That must be clear. That must be clear, because since 1994, this department was in action. But there are a lot of things that are still lacking. And the other public reps went away on a record. We are here, we are new. The honorable minister will also go, and most of you as officials will remain. New people will come in and they will be told things that we were told that were not even implemented. And the minister has outlined nice and very, very implementable plans that for him to be seen implementing in the new administration of Zuma, it's like, it depends on you, it's your responsibility. So we want action, seen, visible. We don't want to come here and listen. Ask smaller than nothing according to the little knowledge that we have. Having this very big document, and you know better than ourselves what you are doing. So please, let's be honest. We must just implement. Come the end of this term, we'd like to have a visible implementation under the leadership of Minister Dwesh, because he's outlining. If I did not put it, my point, my sense clearly to you, it's unfortunate, but I cannot explain further than this.
Honorable Chair, with respect to the question on the community malls, I think the easy answer would be to say that we don't build malls, but I don't think it's appropriate, and it would also be unprofessional for us to do that. I think what is appropriate to say is that this government, through public works and other governments, and through some of the associations that report to the minister or to the various ministers, has developed legislation also through Parliament to ensure that the public sector, but also the private sector, complies with minimum requirements. In the case of new construction, especially the construction affecting the public, like a mall, there needs to be environmental impact assessment. There needs to be a traffic assessment done. And I can only imagine that if a private developer were to develop a mall and there is not sufficient provision for taxis, it may be that such a traffic assessment may have been omitted. which in that case the relevant municipality would have to then take that developer to account. But what we're saying is we have put in place the relevant regulations, the legislation to ensure that even the private sector complies with especially environmental impact assessments and traffic impact assessments. I'm not sure, Minister, if you want to follow up on this particular one, but I think that's the general answer that we can give with regards to this one.
I think it might be useful, Chair, where members also feel there are specific queries. We can always try and get the team to assist, even if it's not within our department, but we can try and get information for you.
Yes.
Sometimes it helps us to also see things that we don't see in our normal daily operation. But certainly if there's a particular mall that identified, we can find out whether these assessments have been done. Because the Department of Transport at the national level has several interventions in terms of the broader commuting patterns that are developing. But we can certainly get information for the committee in that regard. Thank you.
For the issue of monitoring.
The money that we transfer to provinces, they relate only to the property rates and the EPWP incentives. The rest of the capital budget we implement in the department, the budget sits to the clients, they pay us. Those are conditional grants, and we manage them through the quarterly reporting to National Treasury and quarterly reporting to the Department of Public Works, where we pay municipalities on behalf of our client departments, we bill them to recover the money that we pay on behalf. We pay upfront and bill them, they pay us back. But those are the only transfers that we do in the department, transferring the money, the property rate as allocated as a conditional grant, and also the incentives in terms of the scheme of whatever targets that they have achieved. Then we, after monitoring and verifying the information received, then we release the incentive grants to them.
Thanks very much. The gender focal point, I think I will add into what my colleague has just said. We do have a working gender focal point, which we say it is happening at the Director General level in the Office of the DG. But the collective, all the ExCo members, DDG, takes responsibility in ensuring that we implement the Employment Equity Act fully, which encapsulates gender in particular. And then if we may look into the report, recent report, we are one amongst all departments that has won an award in terms of representativity at the senior management level, which means apart from only gender focal point, we are looking into the entire Employment Equity Act and ensuring that we implement it fully. We do have only challenges in the area of the recruitment of people with disabilities. I think it's an area where we are contesting with other organizations, but in relation to other aspects of gender, we have got various programs that ensures that we transform this sector fully. So I think the gender focal point is fully functional in the Department of Public Works. Thanks so much.
Let me also thank the DG, acting DG, for the information. In terms of the national gender policy framework, I think that information is actually very important to us. And if we can get of everybody in the department, starting from up to the cleaner, and if there are also programs in the department to upgrade, like the minister was saying, the person, the one that is acting, the other one is being put to uplift. So if to say maybe the even the T
make in the department if there is any? What plans are we doing in the department? What plans do we have in the department to make sure that everybody in the department is, you know, well, looked after, can say, in with regards to skills development, because I can make tea at the end of the term, then I can be a filing administrator, you know. So if we can have that information, thank you.
The last one.
You see what I was saying earlier? What she's saying about the gender according to what, it's not for the first time that she's saying that. And we are the same people who are teachers here. And it's been repeated. I know it will come again during the next meeting. Until we go on some other new topic that comes in. The same thing like that. Let's be honest and be committed. Please.
Well, I think we are coming to the end of this meeting. I just want to take forward the argument that has been put forth by one of our people. In the last meeting, she said this should not be routine. What we are doing here should not be routine. So a routine, it means next day you'll be coming to the same program where it was easy, you have changed it to us. And you are still saying us, telling us the very same thing. So, but I think what the president has done of making an agreement, a performance agreement with the ministers. So the ministers would like to also to see you performing. And we also, as members of parliament, we want to leave behind the legacy during our period. And I think it is the same with you. It is not the question of saying I'm working, I'm earning money. But to see to it that the people down there are also benefiting from what we are doing. So I think maybe next year when you come here, we need to evaluate what we have done. We have presented this. When we come back again, we need to evaluate what we have said to us, we have achieved this and this and this, and this has been our shortcoming. So I think if we take that route, we'll be able to monitor one another. So I think it's important that what we are doing, we should see to it. Because when I asked this issue of malls, and the response it said, it lies with certain departments. But I think before the mall is being built, there is this environmental impact assessment study, which goes to every department. Just like this issue of a police station in Carltonville. So it means one department has not done its work. Because it should have seen that there are sinkholes there. So you can't build the police station where there's a sinkhole. So it means that one department is not doing its job. So it's important that whatever we are doing, we should do it with police and also with the love of this country. So with those words, I will request the Honorable Temba just to thank the delegation.
Sorry, would you